25 years after the death of John Lennon, I think most people, especially the musicologists, all agree John Lennon was much more than just part of the Beatles. He was a perfectionist in every way.
That piano bit, it's not quite right on that bit yet. Can you do it? Whatever it was. It went down somehow instead of up. It seems to go down. The left hand seems to go rolling down. The left hand seems to go down on it. That's all I mean. Down. No, it goes, the piano just doesn't do that. On that one break after the solo, you know, after the guitar's done the bit, and the piano comes in for that break over the down. So he must have just rolled down, but his left hand's his right hand. So it might mean you'd have to use your right hand.
We're recording a John Lennon giving directions to the band in studio. A long time back. And today, December 8th, it's sunny here in Oklahoma. And across town here in Muskogee, my good friend David W. Torrance is on the line. David, you're in your studio. I'm in my studio. And we're talking about John Lennon. David, it's hard to believe 25 years ago today, John Lennon was assassinated.
It is. I was 11 years old, I guess, that night. And I still remember, the next morning anyway, just like it was yesterday.
I know a lot of people are listening to your salute to John Lennon, not only on our website, but on your podcast as well. You have some new news. You know, we interviewed Ken Derringer, and he's right there on the website right by your salute to John Lennon, but I understand Ken's making some news.
Well, a friend of Ken's, at least, anyway.
Yeah, at least he quoted him, I guess.
Jack Douglas, who is a famous rock producer, just got through, matter of fact, producing one of
Eric's. You know, Jack's still active, as you just mentioned. He's still working away.
60 years old, apparently, this year, and he's still at it. He's still busy.
A friend of mine out in San Francisco, Katie Hickok, recently cornered Jack at a recording studio, and he spent some time with her talking about the Beatles. Hmm. And about John Lennon.
Well, he's been talking about him again today.
Yeah, and before we get to that, I guess there were other things that were happening in 1980 surrounding Paul McCartney and his contract when he went to Columbia.
Well, Paul, of course, had been with Capitol Records since 1963. So it appears around 1979 he started hatching plans to go over to CBS or Columbia, whichever one you want to call them. Contract somehow has just now come out that he signed in 1980. Today you have these multi-million dollar contracts thrown around like they were candy, I suppose. And it's always been curious to me and a lot of other people why Columbia paid, actually I believe, $50 million. It was a $50 million, that's a big amount even in baseball. That's a baseball contract.
Yes, it is, and we're talking 25 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So it's always been kind of curious to people, why do they pay him so much, considering, especially since his next few albums did almost nothing. It was well known there was no love lost between Paul and Capitol when he went back to Capitol about 10 years later, I think. But it's,
well, now this contract news, I guess it was in a London newspaper?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
I mean, it kind of explains why there was no love lost there. Columbia kind of got led down the path, I think.
Well, and, you know, they're considering that no one knew, obviously, what events were going to transpire 25 years ago tonight. Apparently, what was in the contract was Paul put a clause in there that if he wanted to record with the Beatles, he could do that separately. That would have nothing to do with the Columbia contract. Or maybe it would. Maybe that was a carrot dangled in front of Columbia to, you know, bring a few more dollars in. And, you know, who wouldn't if there was a possibility the Beatles might be on your label? And, you know, who knows?
That would, of course, you know, explain $50 million pretty fast.
Well, that would be a fast $50 million for Columbia, yeah, sure.
And so that's interesting, and now he put that clause in there. He must have had an idea that might happen, and you quote Jack Douglas today, kind of backs up that.
Yeah, apparently Jack has come out to a London newspaper. Can't remember what the newspaper was, but he has revealed that John and Paul were writing together in 1980. Of course, it was known for years, and it was well known that that John was going to contribute to Ringo's next album, which was eventually called Stop and Smell the Roses. He recorded several demos for him, which Jack mentions that, but he's never before said that he knew for a fact that John and Paul had written together in 1980. As a matter of fact, there was one writing session, he says, somewhere in the Dakota where John lived. They apparently hid out somewhere to do the writing, and they had booked another writing session together. Now, for what, whether this was Ringo's album or what exactly, nobody, you know, knows for sure, I guess. But the second writing thing didn't happen because of Yoko.
Well, she was kind of up to her usual subterfuge.
Yeah, apparently what happened was on that day, she told Paul that, well, John's just too busy to mess with you today, and told John that Paul had simply not even bothered to show up.
So she was trying to torpedo that. She did not want them back together, did she?
No, and, you know, it could be for a simple reason. You know, it could be something like she may have considered them kind of like stepchildren. You know, she didn't want them around, or, you know, that was just something in the past before her, and I can kind of understand that, or they're...
Now, John actually wanted Yoko to have a big singing career, so she, as a solo act, so that she'd be occupied, and then he could go back to the Beatles, I think. Maybe I'm, you know, adding a little bit to that, but that's kind of the impression I got.
Yeah, he made a big deal at the time of, boy, you know, Yoko, you're going to be a big... Because they recorded the song Walking on Thin Ice, that he was at about this time, on December 8th, 1980, actually completing, and made it a big deal that this was going to be a big number one hit for her. And apparently that was his whole point. He told Jack Douglas that he was going to get her own career rolling so he could spend some time with the boys, so to speak.
Okay, what was
going to
happen?
Well, as far as a Beatles reunion was going, apparently what John and Paul were secretly planning on was they were going to go do this album with Ringo. Now, you may be asking, well, where's George? Well, the problem was at that time, George and Yoko... Now, this is what Jack says, George and Yoko were not getting along. Now, you would assume, well, it's Paul and Yoko, but he specifically mentions George and Yoko, and George and John weren't either, because George had just written a book called I, Me, Mine, that John counted how many times he had been mentioned in it. He actually sat and counted and made it a point that George had only mentioned him 7 times, but remembered every other 2-bit sax player in the world that he'd ever played with before. Of course, if you read the book, George was not big on mentioning names at all anyway. I think he mentioned Paul maybe 5 times or something in the whole book. So, but apparently the assumption was that once they got things rolling, that George would go ahead and come along.
So you'd have the Beatles back in full force.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So the circumstances that night at the Dakota really not only snuffed out John's career, but really prevented the Beatles reunion.
Exactly.
I guess.
And again, it's something that no one really ever suspected. It's always been, the line has always been that no, they were never going to get back together. This was never going to happen. As a matter of fact, I'll quote Jack Douglas exactly right here. He says, "We were all thrilled with it. John's feeling was that this was the one that was going to take Yoko over the top, talking about her new record, and make her critically acclaimed, and then cut him loose so that he could do his things with the boys without Yoko tagging along. She could just go do her own
thing." Well, now, in addition to your podcast, which you do each week, a new half hour, are you keeping the website up? Because that was a great Beatles website.
Well, I haven't. Matter of fact, I looked at it the other day, and it says last updated February of this year, so I got to go do something with it, especially considering this. I've been so busy with everything else in the world other than websites.
Hope you keep adding to it. And
yeah, I'm going to. I was listening to a CD so I can update the bootleg reviews section, so I need to do that before too long. Apparently that's been a popular page in Japan for some bizarre reason. Don't know why.
Well, David, it's great to talk to you, and thanks for sharing this information.
Sure thing.
25 years ago, John Lennon. Wow, it doesn't seem like it's been that long.